Sermons from Broome Anglican Church in the Diocese of Northwest Australia.
When I was a boy, I was a proud Boy Scout. It was a great time in my life. As a scout, we got to do lots of great fun things. We went camping. I don't mean glamping. We went proper camping. You know, we slept under canvas. I used a rock and a jumper as my pillow. We dug pit toilets. We also did things like abseilings, learning how to get from the top of a mountain to the bottom of a mountain safely. We learned how to build things. Water rafts, flying foxes, billy carts. We learned how to read maps, not GPSs. We learned how to follow a compass. We learned other survival skills, like being able to start a fire with wet wood using only one match. We even learned how to turn leaves into water with a simple plastic bag. We did all these things to fulfill the Boy Scout motto. Does anybody know what it is? Be prepared. That's right. Be prepared in any situation. Now, many of these skills I learned as a Boy Scout, I still have today. Maybe don't ask me to start a fire with only one match. But as Boy Scouts, it taught me how to be prepared for life with these skills. And when we turn to our reading we had this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4, we see a similar thing happening. Peter tells us here to be prepared. For the end of all things is at hand. He tells his readers their time on this earth is limited. This world is not their home. They need to be prepared to take advantage of every opportunity they have while they still have time. Now, if this was true for Peter's original readers, how much more true is it for us today? How much closer are we to the end, to the return of Jesus, than Peter's original readers were? The end of all things is more at hand for us today than it was for Peter and his original readers. We have to be even more prepared. And I want to suggest that our passage this morning teaches us three ways in which we can be prepared. We can be prepared by following. We can be prepared by praying, and we can be prepared by serving. So let's have a look together at Peter's first way about being prepared. We can be prepared by following. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so to live the rest of their time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. In these opening verses here, Peter tells his readers and us as well to arm ourselves. Now, I don't know what you think about when you're told to arm yourself. You know, do you get ready when I'm going out to work? Do I get ready and arm myself to go to Top Spot or to youth group or something like that? Do I pick up my gun on the way out? Do I put on my bulletproof vest? It might not be a bad idea to put on a bulletproof vest for Top Spot. You know, some of those kids can throw things pretty hard. All jokes aside, what do you think it means for us to arm ourselves? When people arm themselves, they normally put on something. They normally pick up something ready for a battle. In the first couple of verses here, Peter paints a picture of a Christian being ready for war, for the spiritual battle that we will all face. And what are they to arm themselves with? It's Jesus' thinking towards sin and God's will. Peter instructs his readers here and us today to follow the example of Jesus. Christ suffered in part because of his righteous living. And as believers, we are to adopt the same attitude that Christ had towards his suffering. We are to be willing to suffer because we have chosen to live a righteous life, to follow God's will for our lives. We have chosen not to follow the example of the world. As Peter says here, it's time has passed for our living how the Gentiles do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatries. That kind of seems like a bit of an extreme list, doesn't it? If we saw people living this way, we'd be a bit shocked, wouldn't we? But sadly, year by year, as our culture moves to a post-Christian culture, our culture encourages more and more sensuality, more and more drunkenness, more and more wild living. But as Christians, we need to be prepared to arm ourselves against this way of living. We need to take seriously our struggle with sin. Peter urges us to live the rest of our lives no longer chasing after the passions of the flesh, but to live for the will of God. And we do this by following the example of Jesus. We need to be prepared to suffer just as Jesus suffered, for doing what is right instead of doing what is wrong. Peter tells us that when we live this way, we need to be prepared for conflict, the conflict that will come. There's going to be people that will say, "Why don't you come and do this or that? You know, why don't you come and get drunk with us? Why don't you sleep around? It doesn't matter." You see, life as a Christian will feel like we're constantly swimming upstream against that current. We will constantly have pushback. We will constantly have hostility. People will mock us. People will slander us, just like they did to Jesus. We need to be prepared to follow the example of Jesus. For when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued to entrust himself to the one who judges justly. Folks, Peter reminds us that there will be a day of accounting. Those who oppose us, those who mock us, they will need to give an account to the judge. Justice will be served. Therefore, we can be prepared to follow the example of Jesus, to leave this justice in the hands of the judge who judges impartially. We need to follow Jesus' example. Well, that's our first point. We can be prepared by following Jesus' example. Peter now moves on to his second way that we can be prepared. We can be prepared by praying. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. This is the second time in his letter that Peter has brought up the topic of prayer. And in particular, that our prayers can somehow be affected by our actions. Now, at first that might seem a little bit strange, that somehow the way we act can affect our relationship with God and how we pray. But if you stop and think for a moment, it kind of actually does make sense. Just think about other relationships you have. Do your actions affect them? For example, when you're tired, are you more likely to be short-tempered with your children or with your spouse? I know I am. When you're overwhelmed at work, are you more likely to be irritable to your work colleagues? Well, the same is true for our relationship with God. and our prayer life can be affected. I know when my life gets busy, when I get tired, my prayer life suffers. Peter says, for the sake of our prayers, be prepared. Be self-controlled. Be sober-minded. Be serious. Be disciplined. Prayer is not an optional extra for Christians. Prayer is something we all need to be prepared for. Martin Luther, in his letter, A Simple Way to Pray, states, "It is of great importance that our heart be made ready and eager for prayer." But what do you think it looks like for our hearts to be made ready and eager for prayer? Well, in that same letter, Luther suggests that we need to have a plan in place. We need to be prepared. He suggests that we make prayer the first business order of the day. And he warns against the delusional idea that waiting a while and I'll pray in an hour or so. He says simply, the busyness of life will stop you from praying. Make prayer the first order of business of the day. Luther also highlights the need for a structure in our prayers to stop our prayers wandering off. What Luther is suggesting here is exactly what Peter is telling his readers to do regarding prayer. They are to be disciplined. They are to be thoughtful in their prayers. After all, the end of all things is near. There's no time to waste. We need to rely on God's help. And we need to be prepared to pray and ask God for that help. So that's our second, be prepared. Be prepared by praying. That brings us to our third one, which is be prepared by serving one another. In the final couple of verses we're going to look at today, Peter returns to the topic of love for one another. Now, he's already raised this topic three times. Do you think that Peter might think that loving one another is a really important topic? Or is he just up to date in the latest research that gets people to follow your instructions? You know, you've got to repeat it three times before they'll actually listen to you. You've got to repeat it three times before they'll listen to you. You've got to repeat it three times. I don't think Peter is just talking about that. Love for one another is important. It's a very important topic that Peter is passionate about. And after raising the issue for a third time, he gives us a good reason why we should love one another. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, before we look at what this love looks like in detail, I just want to take a moment now to clarify what Peter is not saying here. Peter's not saying that love covers up sin. Love does not ignore. It does not justify. It does not condone sin. In fact, it's a loving and a biblical thing to confront sin, especially in the lives of fellow believers. Please hear what is being said here. It is never right to cover up sin. It is never loving. It is right and proper to report abuse, injustices to the appropriate authorities. But that being said, as God's people, we are all fallen people. We all have our shortcomings. And at times, we will wrong each other. It is in these times that we need to be willing to forgive and to move on when there is repentance. Peter points out here that when love abounds, our shortcomings, our faults, they're easily forgiven. They're easily overlooked. And after reminding us to love one another, Peter gives us some practical tips on how to do this in our everyday life. And the first tip is to show hospitality. What do you think hospitality is? Is hospitality simply providing a meal to a friend? Or is it something more? In Peter's day, the word hospitality meant love of stranger. Yes, hospitality can be providing a meal for someone, but hospitality is not just limited to that. It is much, much more. In Peter's day, a practical way of showing hospitality was for believers to open up their house and provide food to fellow believers, to fellow travelers. Now, these believers were often traveling preachers, traveling teachers, like the apostles, who needed lodging. But it's not just limited to teachers. During times of persecutions, Christians were forced to flee from their home, often to another city to seek refuge. And believers would open up their house so other believers would have lodging, have food. They showed a practical outworking of their love for one another. But it seems that we actually in Australia don't have a huge persecution issue. I don't know too many people that are getting chased out of their home simply for believing in Jesus. So what do you think hospitality looks like for us today? How do we here in Broome show love to a stranger? Well, I want to suggest a couple of quick ways we could do this. We heard this morning already about the hospitality team and the work that they do. They do an amazing job of sharing and caring for their fellow brothers and sisters. You know, they put on food for our big events like our launch Sunday, our sundowners. They care for church members in their time of needs. We heard about the four families who have been getting meals. I'm one of those families, and I can tell you, I am very grateful for our hospitality team. It is a great thing and a great gift to share and care for our members. Now, you could join that team. There's four meal rosters going around. They're always looking for more people to cook. But what about those who are no good in the kitchen? You know, the ones who can even burn water. Do you get a get out of jail free card here? Because you simply can't cook. Or no, hospitality is for everyone. Peter doesn't just say here, to those who have been given the gift of hospitality, show hospitality. He says, show hospitality to one another. There's no if you've been given a gift or anything like that. And hospitality is so much more than just cooking. Remember, it's love of stranger. You can show love of stranger without cooking. In fact, if you can't cook, it's probably better that you show love of stranger by not cooking them a meal. But you can still show them that you love them in other ways. You can look out for them. At morning tea this morning, if you see someone standing alone, you could show hospitality to them. You can go up and talk to them. You can show hospitality by visiting someone when they're unwell. You can show hospitality by spending time with someone who is lonely. You can show hospitality by looking after someone else's kids. There are endless ways we can show hospitality. Peter has one final word on hospitality, though. We are to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? If we're grumbling about showing hospitality, is it really hospitality? Is it love of stranger if we're grumbling about it? course it's not. It's not loving towards that stranger if we think that it's a burdensome task to love them. That's not love. We all need to heed Peter's advice here. Because there's all times where we would all do this. We'd all grumble as we share and love one another. We need to heed the advice to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Okay, so we've covered hospitality. That's an area where we've all been called to serve. But in verse 10, Peter moves on to tell us that there are areas where we've all been given specific gifts from God to serve one another. Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As Christians, we're called to be involved in God's work. There's no such thing as a passive church member. God has gifted each and every single Christian to do his kingdom work. Not with the same gifts, but with varied gifts. Peter only lists in this chapter here a couple of examples of gifts: speaking and serving. But even these examples are broad categories. For example, speaking is not just simply preaching. It includes things like life group leaders, doing evangelism, teaching Good News Kids or youth group, praying, Bible reading. That's just a couple of examples of what speaking is. Serving includes things like AV, cafe setup, cafe cleanup, serving on the hospitality team, cleaning, mowing. As you can see, God has gifted us with so many different gifts to serve one another. Just imagine for a moment what our church would look like if it was just full of preachers. It'd be a pretty amazing place for preaching, wouldn't it? Much better than what I'm going to do. But it would be lacking in so many other ways. There'd be no children's ministry. There'd be no morning tea. Our lawns would look more of a jungle than they already do after a week of rain. There would be no music. Luckily, God has gifted us with so many varied gifts to serve each other in his kingdom work. And did you notice what Peter says happens when each member uses their varied gifts to serve one another? Have a look. God is glorified through Jesus Christ. Now that's a pretty good motivation to be prepared to serve one another. Well, today we've been reminded that the end of all things is at hand. It's even more at hand for us than it was for Peter when he wrote this letter. And we've been encouraged to therefore be prepared. We can be prepared by following Jesus' example. We can be prepared by praying. And we can be prepared by serving one another.
We hope that sermon helped you. To connect with us, visit our website, broomanglican.church.